Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Oh, thanks everybody for coming right back. And you still with me, Pastor Joe?
I sure am.
Okay.
And welcome everybody back. You're listening to Randy Gay, Deacon Randy Gay. He is helping, he's with me tonight. This is Pastor Joe sitting in for Pastor Ernie. And I've got another big story that I want to bring out.
Are you going to do the one with the LGBTQ people in the schools?
I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
The mega church that has ex-members screaming cult. And this is, again, one of the problems. I said the topic was compromised preaching and why the nation's in this mess. And one of the things is this compromised preaching. We have right there in Ohio, Randy, a mega church called Dwell. Now, it had a former name, trying to think of it for a moment. It was something
That's the church in Columbus. I know they're in Columbus, Ohio.
Right. It was called Zenos two years ago.
Yeah.
It was known as Zenos, and now it's called Dwell. So big church there, a mega church. And what make a very long, long story short, the there have been lawsuits filed, a wrongful death suit, some other legal filings, and basically it's claiming that the church has become a cult.
A cult, that's right.
And was responsible for people's death and some other things. And it truly changed from a church to, as I read through this, to a cult, because one of the things that it talks about, these leaders were chosen by God to do this, not to preach the gospel, not to teach, but they were called by God to run this organization. And what they were doing is taking people into group housing and telling them how to live totally separate. You know, Scripture does say, be separate, come out from among them. But they were separating and putting people into barracks, men and women, telling them who they could marry, who they could date. If somebody was in an abusive relationship, they told the woman that, oh, she just wasn't being good enough. And sometimes you just have to, you know, if you walk away from the marriage or walk away from this relationship, even if you're being beaten and raped, you'd be walking away from God. And it wasn't a church. It was a cult.
Yeah, and they also pointed out that of the people that were complaining, I think it was a lot, like 200 of them, but there's 25 involved, I think, in the lawsuit. Is that the people involved, that they all had the same kind of pattern there, that they would take young people who were kind of disillusioned and then work on them. You know, that's pretty much what the MO was, and the wrongful death was that they went went someplace on some island as a group. They swam. They were supposed to swim out and find some kind of whatever thing that was hidden there, and coming back, the guy couldn't make it back, and he drowned. I mean, it was as simple as that. A 21-year-old man. Yeah.
Well, they took took these young people, and it was a very dark thing. They had them relinquish their free time, had them cut ties with outside friends and cut ties with family. No real Christian pastor would tell you to cut ties with your family. If you become born again, you still love them. You would want them saved. You might preach to them, but you don't just, you know, quit talking to them, ignore them. You know, it was just everything they did was not godlike. And as I read through some of the things, they had meetings almost nightly, and they were, like I said, living almost a military barracks, and they were just totally took over their entire life, even telling them, you know, who they could marry, who they could date. And but this is the kind of thing that happens. Here it is, you know, in the news. I don't know how big of a story it is in Ohio or in the nation, But this is the kind of thing that the devil uses to, look, this is what this claimed to be a church. See how phony it is, how, you know, this.
Or worse yet, saying that this is how churches do.
Right.
You know, worse than that, to make it seem like that every church wants to be this controlling factor of everything you do, you know, and that's just wrong. You know, it's interesting because isn't that how God is projected by people outside the church? That God wants to basically brainwash you and run you into the ground, which is just not true. You know, which is not true. God wants control of your life, but not like that.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I hear. Well, God doesn't want you to have any fun. You can't play cards. You can't dance.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, wait a minute. What? Slow down a minute. But you have all the, it goes back to all the different denominations throwing something, and then somebody takes a little piece from all these different things, puts them together, and all, here's this whole list of, oh, they're a bunch of sourpusses. But to be honest, I look at all my friends, the happiest people I know are born-again believers. There's more laughing, joking, fun, working together. I've got where I used to live before I moved. Had a lot of Amish neighbors, and we would get together, and I would work with them, they would work with me, and we would laugh and joke and tease all day long, doing like a barn raising or something, all working to do something for a neighbor, and we had more fun, more laughs, but nobody had to tell dirty stories, jokes, innuendos. Just plain good old-fashioned fun, and whoever came up with this idea that Christians are dull and boring sure didn't have any good Christian friends, right?
That's right, and it's like doing things sober. You don't have to get high or drunk to have fun. You don't.
No, you really don't.
You don't. You don't have to do that. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. You know, I guess, you know, going down a side eddy and getting off the topic a little bit, I was in the news today. Did you notice the gaffe that President Biden made? Or I don't know if it was a gaffe where he said that if China attacked Taiwan, that we would defend them
militarily. Yes.
Yeah, militarily. Yeah. And that's something else that, you know, he's given away all the, he gave away all the trains, the boats, the planes, the bombs, and the bullets. He's given them all away, so we couldn't defend anybody.
This is a big story in that sense. Biden has, I think, about four different times made a misstatement and has been corrected. This is on things with national security, mostly dealing with China. And it's got to be embarrassing when the leader of the free world stands up and says something, and then within just minutes, his people come out and have to correct and restate, and you know, the White House officials, Biden simply meant that the U.S. would provide military equipment to Taiwan, not send troops to defend the island of China attacks, which would constitute a landmark shift. You see, we were supposed to have a policy of strategic ambiguity. I love that. This is our national security policy is strategic ambiguity. Do you have any idea what the heck that means?
I don't know. I don't know. You know.
You know, well,
that actually, that's an oxymoron.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, it means we're going to keep the enemy guessing. What do we really mean? Well, you guess and think.
But I think, though, that we really need to pay close attention to kind of what's happening now, and in ways that they might deter or even cancel the next election. And you've got to, because I always feel like whatever is coming out of them, you'd better look in another direction for what they're really trying to do. You know, it's like you create a crisis over here so that while everybody's head is turned, you do the real thing you want it to do.
Yeah. Well, going back, I did hear it is, he has, his aides have had to clarify four separate occasions, including his description of the island as being independent. This is China's red line for an invasion. They claim it is not independent, never has been. And we've got this is national security for the world. We're worried about Russia. Right now, Russia is threatening, in fact, where is it? The spokesman came out today for Russia. Here it is. This is scary, folks. We have a incompetent liar for president. He's got dementia. He's not really the power behind the throne, or he wouldn't be allowing people to come out and clarify his remarks. Russian state television, the head, Margarita Simonyan, is the head, and she told the people on the Russian television that either we will win, and this is the war with Ukraine, or this will end badly for all of humanity. There was a warning, Russia will unleash nuclear war rather than accept defeat. She said, people, this is forever. Get used to this new life, discussing Russian alienation. They've been alienated by the world, and people should rejoice that their children will never receive a Western education. And it goes on that, boy, the, you know, get used to this new life. They all believe that we will lose and the West will win, quote. They don't understand that that's impossible, simply impossible, never happen.
This sounds so much like the Cold War.
Oh, this, yeah.
It does. It sounds like the old Cold War, because that was the type. Those were the types of things they were saying. Remember the statement, better red than dead, and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. That was horrible.
But this is what's scary. She said, either we win or this will end badly for humanity.
Yeah.
I don't remember them ever going this far. And the thing is, Russia is going to have 50 brand new nuclear missiles with warheads big enough to wipe out not just a city, but, you know, large portions of a state, to where one missile could pretty much destroy a small country. They have them now, these super big missiles. They have been building, they'll have 50 of them, nuclear-armed, capable of reducing our enemies to a nuclear crater, and this was the head of their space agency came out. And I remember doing this a few months back, trying to warn the people Russia was building these new super-powerful missiles and warheads 100 times stronger than anything we have. And these new Sarmat missiles are 14 stories tall, weigh 208 tons, and will be deployed by autumn. It's getting to be a very, very dangerous world, Randy, and we have Joe Biden, who's what China Joe bought and paid for. He's got dementia. He sold his soul. We need to pray for this country and ask the listeners out there to keep this country in prayer, because we do not have anybody really with any knowledge and understanding in government right now. And China's making the same kind of threats. They're building their nuclear arsenal. They're building new hypersonic missiles. They're putting in larger warheads. They're building ICBM bases all over China. The whole world is preparing for war, except the United States.
Well, what's scary, even to me, more scary about it is that here at home, is that what if we don't take back the Senate and the House in the fall, and the Democrats resoundingly defeat the Republicans, or even hold the status quo? Where will we be then? And what I'm not seeing is that I'm not seeing people be enough, angry enough, if you will. Yeah, and I'm not talking about burning and looting and murdering, but you know what I'm saying, that people are being angry enough to not take this. And that disturbs me, because there's always the chance that, like, you know, just like we thought we had it in the bag with Trump, and look at where we are now.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's something to think about, because I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing enough of this. You know, the other thing I'd like to point out, one of our last week during Players Week, I'm getting going down another side, Eddie, is that Mike Lindell is leading a national movement to ban or outlaw the Dominion voting machines. And I think really he should be supported for that.
Oh, yeah. I think that is a beautiful, beautiful idea. And the other one is, the Lord keeps telling us to take everything to him in prayer. And I have a feeling that God is not hearing a lot of prayers for the nation, for our safety.
I agree.
I talked to this group when I was telling you, I was with a group of pastors, and I was asking a lot of questions. They thought I was kind of weird, but I asked a lot of things and left some of them really shaking their heads. But have you prayed for our national security, our safety against China, against Russia? Have you, prayers of intercession? And they look, well, we pray for the nation, for our political leaders, and, you know, but no, specifically, no. It just, there is this lack. God says, take everything to him in prayer. We're to be in prayer constantly. That doesn't mean we pray 24/7, but we are to spend much time in prayer with him. And there are so many great needs, and yet when I talk to people about their prayer life, we say grace at meals.
Listen, every person has enough going on, whether they know it or not, that you should be able to pray for at least an hour every day.
And you don't have to do it all at once.
Exactly.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, if you did it when you got up. I mean, how many people don't pray for their wives, their children, their grandchildren, their cousins, their friends, their situation at work? I mean, all of that. You know, and I'm saying calling these people out by name, bringing them to God, praying about everything that you want God to do in you, with you, for you, through you. Or if you don't have that vision, ask God to give it to you. I mean, like, there's enough to pray about, and there's enough potential here. And I think that that's why, I mean, if you notice, this nation is slowly sinking into the West, if you will. And it's because of that type of stuff. Things aren't getting better here, and you got to stand here and say, I wonder why. Roll this thing back a year, and things were much better a year ago than they are now. Much better. Anybody that goes to the gas pump knows that.
The grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to switch gears. I'm hopeful we can continue this tomorrow night. I saw two stories. I want to start with a warning, and then if you've got the one on State Farm.
I do not. You know, the one that I have here is that really this is even a little bit more in another side. It says, why are we teaching our kids to lie? Yeah, I got that one. Yeah.
Would you please do this story? This ties in with again, this is something you do not hear the churches talking about, preaching about. When I ask these pastors about the all the pedophilia going on in our nation, all the attack on our children, the sexual abuse, and they all kind of looked at me like, what, you know. So would you go ahead and tell the folks this story?
Sure, sure. Why we're teaching our kids to lie? And it says, trans pioneer sounds alarm. A pioneer in the field of transgenderism, a 59-year-old who began transitioning 30 years ago, warns that children in today's world are being indoctrinated into the lifestyle. In an interview with Fox News, Buck Angel admitted that she never will be a man, even though she's been living as one for years. I'm not a biological man. I never will be. I'm very honest about that, and that's why the world is accepting of me. Angel said in the interview, so why are we teaching kids to lie? Angel told Fox 3 decades back that there was a system and a structure that ensured that someone to be certain of their gender identity. Now we have trans with no gender dysphoria, no need for mental health care, self-ID, affirmation therapy, Angel said. That says to me, on some level, some form of indoctrination. Angel continued, I'm an elder in the community I helped build. Now I'm being told that I'm old and antiquated. And Angel said, our community is failing our community. We're not being loving and we're not being caring. We're being weird. Angel said her parents allowed her to make some behavioral changes as a child, but it wasn't until she was in her 20s that she proceeded with hormone therapy. Now it's different. I see a vast, huge difference. Desire to work to fast track, for lack of a better term, these children in this space of trans kids and put them to and put them on puberty blockers. Angel told Fox News, I personally believe blocking puberty could be disastrous. Fox confirmed the Department of Health and Human Services considered puberty blockers reversible, but studies have shown that they can have long-lasting side effects, including bone thinning. Adolescents who take these hormones can also become infertile, studies have shown. And it goes on, it says, if a kid says we're trans, this is what Angel was saying, if a kid says we're trans, they're trans. Oh, so if a kid says they're an elephant? Are you kidding me? This is how ridiculous this is, Angel said. It's dangerous. It's not therapy. Therapy is pushback on some level. It's a pushback so that you can see. Am I in the right? Making the right choice? And my point is that
we need this pushback, right?
Right, right. And I think that, like, and it's interesting because to me, Angel brought up the one thing that's never discussed with trans people in the public forum, and you know what that is? You don't see any old ones, do you? You don't see any old ones because it works, and they only show you the ones that, like, you know, when they cut and pasted them up, they were beautiful and young and all that. But see, as they get, but they age, and as they age, they're thrown aside. They're just completely, even by their own people.
You're right. You go clear back.
Think about this. It's like, but then think about it. In terms of society, you know, women, they become grandma. And so they still maintain a level of respect, of love, of validity, if you will. What does a trans person become at age, we'll say, 65? Because
become old and useless.
Old and useless. Because even the one, even the men will say that are that you know will dabble in that sort of thing. They want one that's 25 or, you know, some young age. They don't want the old ones. And think about it. And your body constantly goes back to being what it was. That's why all the hormone therapy.
Yeah. Well, many years ago, I started talking about the homosexual movement. And Pastor, you reminded me it's always called sodomy, but back then it was the homosexual movement. And it was always about younger.
Yeah.
They always wanted younger victims, whether male, female. It was an attraction, and it always has been. And I remember I was doing radio, and I had a former sodomite who became a born-again believer. And he said, they would have parties and get hopped up on drugs and alcohol and have sex all weekend at these bathhouses. And he was talking about the horrible bad side of this whole thing. And he said it was always the worship of youth. Harvey Milk that they won. They made.
Oh, yeah, they got killed in San Francisco. Yeah.
He was in favor of man-boy love. And you see this stuff. It started off, again, sin. Like there are people like this angel came out and said, "Yeah, I'm honest. You know, I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm doing what I want." But at least she was open and honest about it. These other people don't want to admit what's really at the heart of all this is they want more and more young victims to be in this category because of all the sodomite, the lesbians, all the people that want sin in any form. And that's what it basically is. Satan's opening Pandora's box of sin and saying, now look at the choices you have now, more choices than ever before in life, right?
But they're not telling you that statistically, 2 out of 3 commit suicide within 5 years of after they had the surgery. After they had the surgery.
Right. And they have, like they did with COVID, there were doctors that are saying they had people coming to them. They wanted the surgeries reversed. They wanted
And there's no going back. You can't do that.
They couldn't do that. And the ones that they tried, the doctors, they got shadow banned. They got kicked off of Facebook. They got kicked off of Twitter. The newspapers would not print the stories. They tried to send stories to the London Daily Mail. They tried to send other newspapers. Nobody published. So for years, there's been a lot of people trying to give warning. Hey, wait a minute. I went through all this and found out I didn't really want it. I was mixed up. They led me to think this was right. I wish I'd never. And it was like the blackout on COVID. You couldn't come out and say, hey, you can use ivermectin. You can use hydroxychloroquine. There's other treatment. You remember how they banned all those people?
Sure.
They did the same thing with anybody speaking out that, yes, you can trans. You can come out of the lifestyle. You can change. I had several pastors I've known had become, you know, out of the lifestyle, the gay lifestyle. And they were saying nobody, the press never wanted to talk to them. They didn't want to allow them on radio shows, this kind of thing. It's the world wants to clamp down on any truth that doesn't go along with the narrative.
But think of how sick it is that you want to block puberty. Do you realize how young these kids are that they're trying to indoctrinate into the lifestyle?
No, they're just younger and younger.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, you're trying to block puberty? That's like, you know, it's funny. You know, when I was a science and math specialist in the school system for a few years, and I remember I did a third grade class, and I left a there were three girls in a third grade class, which means they were eight or nine that were having their periods. And,
oh boy, yeah.
And the teachers left that message for me in case they had an accident. They all had spare clothes downstairs. Okay. It's, we're coming up on a break here. How much time we got? Three? Okay. Yeah. Then I'll finish it up. But yeah, just think about that. 8 or 9 years old. And like, you're trying to block people almost down at that level from going through a menstrual cycle or just the natural part of life for a woman. That's hellish. That's hellish.
Mm-hmm. That is, it is antichrist, and it is wrong, immoral, and unsafe. Anytime you start messing with the system that God created, it doesn't always work out well, does it?
That's exactly right. You are so right. You are so right.
So we've got a lot more. I guess when we come back from you got a good song picked out. When we come back from this next break, we'll...
You want to open it up?
Lines.
Yeah, let's open it up. Okay.
And then we'll continue tomorrow night with... there's a lot of stories about what's happening to our children, but we'll take calls tonight on the church.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Why don't we do that? And then, like I said, you know, if we can continue then. If we're on tomorrow night, then we'll continue. You know, if Pastor Sanders is back, then, hey.
We'll go where he wants to go.
Hey, if everybody will clap.
Okay. Yeah. Andy, are we ready?
Yeah, he's getting ready to do it now.
We can go now.
Okay, go for it. We'll be right back.
Had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track.
can't take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
All right. As promised, I'll tell you what, we're going to take some calls there, and we're going to have Cliff, bring him in, bring him in. Hey, Cliff, how you doing, buddy?
How you doing? Yeah, hit a couple of things quick. The topic you were just talking about, I was just thinking that what it is, I hadn't thought of this previously, but it seems like this is like a fetish, and they're creating these people this way as a grooming process, because they want a certain amount of people to be trans for their fetish.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
For the fetish or just for victims, the more you have confusion, like I said, in the sodomite world, it was all about younger and younger youth, and now they're coming out, these young people, they're showing them the porn images and the pictures, and they're talking about sex and masturbation, getting them all excited. It's just really creating a whole world of young victims of various kinds. For either male or female, you know, there's a victim now, younger and younger.
Yeah, there's zero concern for any true gender dysphoria. You know, that's not why they're being put. Now, on the Russia thing and the China thing, it's weird that I stumbled on a book in a library. You know, I was hanging out in a library, and it was somebody writing about war games, war scenarios, and they said, if you have a nuclear-armed nation that says we'll never use nukes, if they're losing a given war, conventional war, then they're not going to stick to that protocol. They'll bring out the nukes, according to this book. It was written by one of these guys from the War College, and they said, you know, like, they'll let that go and say, hey, if we're going to be losing a conventional war, we're going to bring out our nukes. You know, and and then, you know, I want to flip it. My last thing I want to bring up is Psalm 55, because I think it also relates to what you were just talking. If you look at David in this psalm, it's very interesting. He's talking about things are so off, I just want to fly away, you know, to something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he comes back to where, well, I'm not away, and then he goes to imprecatory prayers. 15, he says, look, death seized them. And then what you were just saying about praying throughout the day, and it'll add up to, say, an hour, it says, do you see that where it says maybe after verse 15, it says, morning, noon, and evening I will pray. So he was probably doing that. And
Most likely. Actually, it says evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud.
Yeah.
And he shall hear my voice. You're right.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the scripture all the way through. That's what one of the great people that the Lord, you know, the Lord's favorite people, the people that so much because of his faith and belief, and here's what he's saying, you know, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. God will be his savior, spiritually, physically, and daily prayer, morning, noon, at night, you know. It makes it pretty clear, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Well, listen, why don't we do this, because the board is really starting to light up. And as always, Cliff, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah.
You be blessed, and thank you always for your insights. I always like to hear from you. Why don't we go to Michelle next? Okay.
Yes. Hi, my name is Michelle from Florida.
Yeah, welcome.
And I hand me a pen and paper. And I'm very anxious to ask about the questioning about what we should be learning in our church. You brought up various topics regarding churches that were just feeding us milk, or for lack of a better word, never ever touching on any of the topics going on, not even talking about prophecy to help us deal with what's happening in the world.
Right.
And
the pastors stay away from worldview and world events, and yet the Bible, if you start studying and have a pastor teaching, it talks about, if you want to know about borders, God talks about borders. If you want wars and strong government, lies and deceit, he talks about government. What kind of government? I mean, you pick a topic, and God has something to say and tell you what to do.
Yeah, and it's either what to do or what not to do. And if you know what not to do, then you know what to do.
Okay. For years now, I've been wondering about this, because I thought that because of the 502 tax exempt status.
As far as we're concerned, once you take that on, you are a corporation. You've entered into a contract with the government about what you can do, what you can't do, and you're really away from God, because there are times when scripture plainly says we should disobey the government. You know, not every time, but there are times when, and if you make that, if you make that contract to keep your status tax exempt, then you can't adhere. You cannot adhere to the Bible across the board. You can't do it.
Your pastor becomes an agent of the state.
Yeah.
Yes, when he signs
can't
the corporation papers, he becomes, and it says right there clearly, he is an agent for the state.
Yeah.
And I am a pastor of an unregistered church. I answer to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone.
Correct.
Period.
Okay. The sad thing is that I thought because of the 502 tax exempt status.
501. Yeah.
I beg your pardon.
It's okay.
It's all right.
We know.
I'm trying. My mouth is a mess. I just came back again from having more work in my mouth. I'd sound terrible.
Very seriously.
I have wondered about, you know, like you mentioned, world events, world views, borders, lies, deceit, the government. It's the church's job to speak about these things. And I, for the life of me, as things keep progressing, you know, I'm thinking, why are we still spending, like, I'm not knocking my pastor, but we're spending months in Genesis, and this is good because we're learning a lot of things. But we never touch on anything happening in the world, and he never wants to go near that.
Michelle, the reason I'm with Pastor Ernie is because I was at a mega church. Because if I said the name, you guys would know it. A lot of you would know it, and the whole bit. But he never he told Bible stories, and he didn't push back, and he never listen. That's I believe that Pastor Ernie connects the dots with the current events to the Bible in the news. And that's how you have to live life. I mean, I can't live life in 1950. That's over with. Nor can I live it 10 years from now. You understand what I'm saying? So Pastor Ernie, it's current events, and he connects it to the Bible. That's how you live. There's your roadmap.
The Bible is the handbook for the care and feeding of Christians, how we are to live our life, what we are to do, what we are not to do. And how could he make a book like that without giving a clear instructions? Because he knew there had to be, he set up a government, and that government was supposed to serve him and rule in the admonition of the Lord. And the world has left that, and so has many of the churches. They are afraid to speak of the world. The Bible says clearly we are to be in the world, but we are not to be part of it. We are to come out from among them. Yes. But we have to understand the world we live in, don't we?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, and if you don't understand the world you're living in, how can you decide what to do, what not to do? It's like if you're walking into an unknown country, an unknown jungle, you don't know how to ask for a meal or where the local bathroom is or, you know, how to get to a hospital or a doctor. God gives us directions for life. And he knows the world. He said the world was going to hate us and the world was going to be evil and there would be dangers. So he gave us a roadmap.
Well, I'll tell you what. I hate to cut you off, Michelle, but we got some other people. And hopefully we answered your question.
Yeah.
And thank you very much. That was very insightful. And thank you for asking those things.
Randy, one quick thing. Remind people that the church is tax-exempt, always has been. You don't need a 501c3 to be tax-exempt.
That's right.
We can go into that later. But
that's exactly right.
Not necessary.
Say, Andy, could you give us John 2?
John 2.
Yeah.
Am I on there?
Yeah, John?
John?
Yes.
Okay.
How are you, pastors? Listen, I'm an archaeologist, and I was surprised to learn that the Greeks have their own Garden of Eden called the Garden of Hesperides, from which we get the word paradise.
Right.
And as an archaeologist, I was surprised. I thought the Garden of Eden was between the Tigris and Euphrates River.
Well, that was the original Garden of Eden. There have been other beautiful places in the world since creation. And they claim that's theirs, but it doesn't mean it's the garden.
Garden of Eden, yeah.
Right. In the Greek version, the story has a god, an Adam, and an Eve, and a serpent. But they're not playing the same roles. In the Greek version, it's Poseidon who carved out a river for Atlas and Hesperus. And Atlas and Hesperus produced the three Hesperides, the daughter of the three daughters of the dawn, I believe it was. And they had their own garden, and it was guarded by a dragon called Ladon. And this dragon was slayed later on by Hercules when he was doing the
12 labors,
trying to get the golden apples.
Yeah. Right. Well, I can explain where this all came from. You go to Genesis chapter 6. And it said, when it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took them wives, which they chose. And God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You see, you remember, there were demons cast out of heaven, the angels, the fallen angels, and they were told not to marry. Well, they were thrown out of heaven, so they disobeyed God, and they took wives of the women on earth.
Well,
the
how
daughters
is it
of Adam.
For a spiritual...
And you had these great men like Hercules. The stories, there were great men in those days.
But, Pastor, how is it possible for an angel to produce sperm, to produce a child inside of a human woman? That doesn't make any sense to me. These ancient astronauts may have been able to do that, but it wouldn't have been a spiritual angel capable of doing that.
They were able to take human form, weren't they?
They were, in a in effect, superhumans that came to Earth, and they may have produced a hybrid between the human women.
Well, that's what the giants were hybrids. That's what these people were hybrids.
As an archaeologist, I've located the spot where this Greek Garden of Eden was, and they were advertising it in the real estate for $100 an acre in 1910. And they were advertising it, and the place is called Tarpon Springs, Florida. And if you look at the map of Tarpon Springs, Florida, and turn the map upside down before the world flipped upside down, and you could see it right side up, you could see the four figures of Eden carved right out of the river system in Tarpon Springs. You can see Poseidon officiating over a marriage between Atlas and Hesperus. And basically, he's saying, be fruitful and multiply. And in that same city, we found a plant called the Brazilian pepper tree that's a cure-all. So I thought maybe that Brazilian pepper tree, since it was a cure-all, and in the ancient Greek Garden of Eden, could cure all these diseases like monkeypox and COVID-19 and all the variables. And the reason why the big pharma's having you take these shots and these boosters is because they want to make money. They don't want the holistic cure that comes directly from God, as it was designed.
Give me the name of that plant. Give me the name of the plant, and I've got a couple of people. The technical name is
Chymus tribifolti, but you can look up the healing effects of Brazilian pepper tree or the pharmacological review of the Brazilian pepper tree on the internet. You're going to see that it's a cure-all and that it is the tree of life, and it. The big pharma has actually paid off the legislature of Florida in order to make it illegal to transport the Brazilian pepper tree, and it's a healing plant. The only thing wrong with the Brazilian pepper tree is in the berries. There's arsenic in the seeds inside the berries, but the leaves and the berries, when boiled and strained, produce an effect that it takes the DNA out of all the bacteria.
I'm going to have to cut it because we're running out of time and we do need to have the altar call. So why don't we do this?
I'll talk to Pastor Ernie and we'll get this thing.
Please do. Yeah. And please call back. Now let's go to First John and we'll give him 2 minutes.
Yes. I think a lot of people will say, I'm smart. I don't trust the media, but then they turn right around and parrot all of the lies and propaganda of a media that is massively infiltrated by the CIA, the Pentagon, the military-industrial complex, and Big Pharma. And I think people have got to get other sources. One of them is the Gray Zone, and it has people formerly of the CIA and the FBI who got disgusted with the lies of that military-industrial murder-incorporated CIA, which interlocks with all of our media. And they've come out on just a couple of sites that are being suppressed and algorithm practically out of existence. I think people should have used the time available yet to check them out. The Gray Zone is one. Global Research is another. Just to mention one article that was on Global Research, it's called U.S. Puppet Zelensky oversees his campaign of assassination, kidnapping, and torture of political opposition in Ukraine. He's censoring the media in Ukraine. He under the direction of the United States and the CIA, which set up his secret police and financed and built.
Well, George Soros' money, Klaus Schwab has got their nose in there, and he cut off all the media. We talked about that on this program where he shut out all competing media, so there's no news but his news.
I hate to cut you guys short, but we're into the most important part of the program.
All right.
And that's it. Pastor Hal, are you there? We need to bring him on.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Hal, you got about 3.5, so why don't you do it for us? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, you know, in Mark it says, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he were cast into the midst of the sea. And so that's how all these pedophiles and people that want to ruin children and damn their souls with perversion, it's going to be better for them if they had a millstone around their neck and cast into the sea when God gets done with them. And that's just good warning and everything. But anyway, everybody listening to my voice tonight, they'd rather go to heaven than go to hell. And the Bible says that except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's Luke 13:3. And when Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to take your penalty, the penalty for your sin and mine, and pay the penalty in full. God said sin had to be paid for. God cannot let sin come into heaven. No matter how much he loves us, his righteousness demands sin be paid for. Jesus was allowed to pay for that sin in full. He was allowed to transfer your guilt and mine onto his son, Jesus. And when Jesus said it is finished, that means all the payment needed for you to go to heaven was paid for by him. But that don't become yours automatically. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You have to come to Jesus and say, Lord, you know I'm a dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinner. That's repentance. And ask Jesus to come into your heart and give to you the payment he paid for you on that cross. Because John 14:6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So that means no religious leaders, no pope, no Catholic church, no one can save your soul, not Mary, but only Jesus. Now, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for you and you want to receive that payment, you can do it right now in a simple prayer of faith. Romans 10:13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means pray. And Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart right now, but he's allowing you, giving you the opportunity to open up the door from inside and let him come in and save your soul. And so if you'd like to pray that prayer, my job as a preacher, as a Christian, is to lead people to Christ. We can say a prayer together. I'll lead you a few words at a time if you'd like, but even though we're praying together, it's directly between you and God. And so if you'd like to do that, let's do it now. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I confess my sins. I repent of my sins. And Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and shed your blood for my salvation. And Lord, right now, right here and now, I ask you to come into my heart. Give me the payment you paid for me in my place on that cross. Give me eternal life, Lord Jesus, for I receive you into my heart right now as my Savior. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That means that you received him as your Savior, that you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you may think it, wish it, or hope for it, but that you may know it. Why? Because God made you that promise, and God cannot lie. Go ahead, Randy.
Okay, thanks a lot. Actually, we got about 30 seconds left, and I want to say thanks very much. Thanks, Joe, for you know, righting the ship and taking us along into safe harbor. And I want to thank all the people who called in. I want to thank everybody who listened. And once again, we pray that Pastor Ernie will be right back. I think we're coming up on 10 seconds. Okay, so what does he say? So good night, be blessed. And always, 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 come on, let's say it. Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.